Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Thursday night of sports. The Mets win in dramatic fashion over the Milwaukee Brewers in Game 3 of the Wild Card Series on the NL side. And an actual surprise, surprise, an entertaining game on Thursday night football. Buccaneers, Falcons in Atlanta. Atlanta takes that one in overtime. Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3, a Friday edition, the second three-hour edition of Russo and Rizzo in a row. Colin Russo, of course, Mike Rizzo, Christian Cat behind the glass as always. And for the second day in a row, she's okay with coming back. I'm surprised. Christina Costanza joins us now. Tina, what's going on?
I am surprised that I came back a second day. I didn't really have high hopes for yesterday. But it went really well.
God, high hopes.
So
yeah, you know, she was a little like, you didn't know what to expect. And when it came to the energy.
I honestly didn't expect to talk as much as I did. I thought I was.
So you're pleased?
I am. I was very shocked how much I actually was involved in the conversation yesterday. And that was, yesterday's show was going to depend on if I joined today and if I join on Monday.
So you would have told the higher ups here, the people in charge, the Brian Rowitzes of the world in charge of content, hey, I know I'm supposed to come on Russo and Rizzo on Friday first thing, but I didn't like what I had, my involvement yesterday. I don't like the two hosts. I would prefer if I didn't join on Friday. That's what the conversation would have been.
It wasn't going to be like on you, be like, I don't like the two hosts. No, I like y'all. It was more like, hey, like, I don't, I'm not involved in the conversation. And again, I know that you were made aware of like this, you know, as I'm joining, you know, not as sports heavy, but I just didn't know how the show was going to go. And I did say, I was like, let's see how Thursday goes because I had the choice of joining. I did not have to join. It was my, you know, decision. So I did let them know. I said I might not join Friday, depending on Thursday.
She group texted us last night and called us the crazies.
I said had so much fun with the yeah. I called you guys crazy. You guys are crazy.
You don't like that,
what
Mike?
Do you mean?
I don't like that. I'm not crazy. Might be a little eccentric at points, but I'm not crazy. Like crazy.
I think I have a screw loose.
Like Colin, crazy is like, I don't want to be anywhere near that guy.
No, there's different ways of crazy. There's different crazies. I would say I'm crazy in certain ways.
I totally think I have a screw loose. Well, something's off in the wiring. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being crazy.
You got to stop.
All the greats are crazy. Pacino, he's crazy. De Niro, he's nuts. All these guys are Scorsese. I just named three movie guys. But all the greats, George Washington was crazy. All the greats, Picasso, nuts. Machiavelli, crazy. All the greats have a little something off. There's something off with the greats.
I think you're crazy though, like with like how passionate you are about like sports and radio. Like it's not a knock
on you.
That's the goal.
That's where we want to be. We want to become great. You need to have something.
Like, I don't know. I got the feeling of like Tina's looking at me going, my God, that guy's nuts.
I felt like you were like you weren't as crazy yesterday. Like you were like a level down. I didn't know if that was because I was here. Like maybe it's because
I got called crazy.
But that's not a bad thing.
So
like be you.
Walking home. Late night out.
Be you, Mike. Just be crazy.
Yeah.
It's dark. It's stormy. You're walking by yourself. Behind you, you see Mike Rizzo.
Yeah, and then,
about
you know,
10 paces behind.
Oh, that guy's crazy.
You're clutching your purse and running.
Or like two people walking together. They turn around and see me go, my God, that guy's nuts. You know what I mean? That's kind
of the cross right? the street yeah. because of the homeless guy. God, that's Mike Rizzo. God,
look at that nut. Look at that nut.
No, you guys are just loud. You're very passionate. And I did not know how I was going to fit in to your show.
You don't.
But I don't. Yeah, I don't. I'm not. I'm probably not going to be a regular guest on your show unless I have to be.
This is the last time.
Yes. Well, sorry. Yeah. Unfortunately, we have you guys for 3 hours again on Monday, so I might join.
Are you back on Monday?
It's my decision. I'll see after today.
Oh, so the jury's still out. That's crazy.
No, I plan to join Monday.
You plan. We'll see what happens. Well, give us 40 minutes. We'll see, we'll see if we can change your mind.
Yeah.
this nut.
Tina Costanza, Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Catt, of course, on a Friday edition. Tina, we were talking yesterday, and we were getting a feel for, of course, your affinity towards hot dogs at ball games.
Yeah.
But we were also getting a feel to certain things that, like, you don't really like. And I wouldn't call it a fear. Maybe it's an uncomfortable thing.
Yeah.
But you really got in depth with us yesterday after the show with your sort of irrational fears. And I know you've come up with a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll start with the one with the jumbotron.
Oh, hang on. I have a story real quick. I have a funny story.
I
want
to hear
it.
This.
So remember when we went to WWE in Fort Lauderdale as a...
this is an intro, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
why'd you say it like that?
WWE?
Yeah. Why'd you say it like that?
You kind of give the George Bush thing a W.
Yeah, it's WWE.
WWE.
Why are you like boom, boom, boom?
Not a WWE.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Okay. All right.
WWE, well, Monday Night Raw.
When I let him tell the story.
Yeah, it's nut.
He's never going to let me join again.
This, you know, when we went to Raw, I looked at a couple of people because, like, they were doing, like, the Jumbotron, get your sign up.
Very active fans.
Yeah, very active fans. And, you know, they don't leave early, Colin. Anyway, I looked at a couple of people behind me. I'm like, I'm going to get us on the Jumbotron. And Tina, before I could even finish, Tina was, no, you're not.
No.
I'm like, oh. I'm like, all right, I've never seen this side of Tina before. I go, then I go up to her. I'm like, Tina, what? She goes, I don't like the Jumbotron.
Wow, you snapped at him because of a Jumbotron?
She 110% snapped at me when I said I wanted to get us on the Jumbotron.
What's with you and the Jumbotron?
I've never even been on a Jumbotron before, but I never want to be on a Jumbotron.
Why?
I hate the attention. Like, it's just, it's uncomfortable. Like, you never know, I feel like, with Jumbotrons at like, events, what they're going to do to you. Like, is it... you know, a dance cam? Is it like a kissing cam? Is it they've been doing in some games where they like compare you to a celebrity or like a Disney character.
I feel like that's the best one.
Which
there's
one?
Nothing you have to, the comparison, there's nothing you
those
have to
are
do.
Funny. Most of those are funny.
Like,
but
the kiss
sure,
cam are you afraid of? Like,
oh my
you know.
God, that's, yes, that is a fear. That's, I would never want to be on a Jumbotron, period. And it was for a kiss cam. I literally like fall to the floor and run away.
What, that bad?
I don't want to be on a Jumbotron, no.
This is not even associated to like a bad experience you had a Jumbotron. You've never even been on one.
Never been on one. I just don't want that attention whatsoever.
Like, when I mean snapped, I looked at, I think I like, I said under my breath, I'm like, God, I didn't know Tina was like that.
Wow. I'm more surprised because we were with a bunch of people that we work with.
Right.
It's not like the camera's going to zoom in on Tina.
It wouldn't have soloed you out like, hey, you, do this crazy thing with these crazy people.
Rizzo's never going to let me down that I called y'all crazy. Yeah, I don't want to be on a Jumbotron ever. Ever. I will avoid a Jumbotron.
Do you ever get nervous when, like, let's say you're at a game and you have a hot dog and you take your picture, you do your photo shoot, all the garbage that you do with it. So all of a sudden you've got to eat the hot dog
and
the cameras are always on.
And it's just
pans. That is weird.
You.
I agree. Mid-eating or something like that can be strange. Because the girl who had the chicken fingers dipping it in the soda, you remember that? The Knick game?
Oh, God.
Yes.
She got big off that.
Yes.
That's like, that would make sense, I think. I think that's a little strange when that happens.
That's really strange. No, anything. Anything that I don't want to be on a Jumbotron no matter what I'm doing. I hate it. I don't want to be on a Jumbotron ever. I will avoid it. I will run away. I will duck down. I will hide my face. I don't want to be on Jumbotron.
That's asking for the additional attention if you make an effort to run away because the camera can follow you. The camera's going to be faster than you are.
What? No. I'll run fast.
Yeah, it's on the other side of the building. They just have to panic like a couple feet.
They got you. No escape.
I stopped my friends from trying to get on Jumbotron. Like, I stopped Rizzo from trying to get on Jumbotron.
Snap.
I was at a Florida Panthers game with one of my friends and one of our teammates here, and she was trying to get on a Jumbotron, and I was like, stop waving your hands
for
and
dancing?
Stop. Probably. It was probably dancing. They were just like doing a Jumbotron, like trying to get like fans on the screen. And I'm like, no, stop. I don't. And she was sitting next to me. I'm like, no, 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 no. Stop it.
Do you guys have that one friend that always gets on the Jumbotron like at games? I do.
I do. I don't get lucky with that.
No.
My good friend, John, he had season tickets to the Guardians when we were growing up. His dad had wicket seats behind, you know, third base. And he would always find a way to get us on the Jumbotron. No matter what it was, if it was just a dance or like him standing on his chair and screaming or whatever, we would always find our way on the Jumbotron.
I've never loved the Jumbotron thing either. Listen, I'm not going to freak out if the camera pans to me. I don't understand the actual fear of it, but I don't get into it.
Just give your Ash Ketchum peace sign and say your piece.
No, they don't just pan off you in 2 seconds. They're on you for like 15, 20.
Well, here's pro tip. You give your peace sign, you know, your Ash Ketchum peace sign, and then you go about your business and they'll go, you know, they'll.
Well, I hope it never happens to me. I hope I never go on one.
You know, just you know, give a wave, give a peace sign, and then go about your business.
Well, no, the way to get off the Jumbotron is to do something explicit, because then they have to get you off the screen.
Oh, okay.
So you see, like, the
middle fingers or something like that?
Middle fingers, even a step further than that.
No.
Yeah. That's how you get off the Jumbotron.
No.
I've worked in the cave.
We're in the first segment. Let's not
easy.
Get put on
that's
a
what
list.
Happens. Right. Yes.
But, yes, seriously.
I've worked the job
God,
that people
man.
Put, the job that puts the people on the Jumbotron. I've done that. And it's simple. That's why I get on the Jumbotron whenever I want to. I know a guy. Won a free TV.
You're a fan of Jumbotrons?
Yeah.
I think it's fun.
I don't like
the sausage being made. It was amazing. Got a free TV out of it.
Okay. I'm not a huge, I don't really get into it, but I also haven't been getting, I haven't gotten like lucky, if that's the right phrase, on getting on the Jumbotron.
Yeah, I've never done the one where you have to do a dance, because I guess I never dance either bad enough or good enough to catch the attention.
Yeah.
But I got other moves.
The engagement ones are rough.
Oh, God.
Ew,
they're fake nowadays.
Ew.
Like
if they do that and somebody's getting engaged, that's rough.
Puke in my mouth. Ew.
That's like, gross.
What about the guys that won't cough up enough money to get the camera on them when they get engaged? They just pay enough money to have the message on the board. Like, happy birthday, Nan and Pop. Congratulations on graduation to the eighth graders at Willow Middle School. And then it's...
I still think this is a little...
Patricia, will you marry me?
It's a little too public. Unless
just,
you, it's a little too public.
It's just something I never understood, proposing at sporting events. I just think it's so...
You think they're... I have a feeling that if you're proposing... No, they're not going to say no to you on a Jumbotron.
Yeah, what if the team loses?
Oh,
I've seen... Well,
I got married,
I've seen a ton of... I've been to a lot of sporting events in my life. I've seen multiple people get left at the altar at the sporting
event. Like they said no to the proposal?
Now, I wonder if some of that is for publicity.
Either it said no, Colin, or just like couldn't handle the pressure and like walked away.
Yeah.
Numerous times.
And I'm sure a lot of people don't appreciate that.
No, God, no.
I think it was a Dodgers game this year or a baseball game where it was a big whole ordeal where she said no and then took the drink and poured it on the guy's head. Like, come on now.
Oh, that was planned.
Exactly. Yes. So we get further and further away from believing things are real that I don't believe anything.
I like birthday wishes at a game, like on the Jumbotron. That's good because maybe the team will throw you, like, give you a scoop of ice cream or something.
Especially if you're, like, a little kid. I feel like for children, too.
How would they know?
Fun.
Somebody tells that you tell the team or something like that.
You have to pay $50.
You have to pay?
Yes. And it's all public on these teams' websites where I think maybe...
I thought you just had to, like, tweet it. Maybe I'm wrong.
Pay to play, Kyle. Pay to play.
Yeah, website.
Do you think they give you, like, a scoop of ice cream, a hot dog, a pretzel, something interesting?
No, your prize is seeing your name on the Jumbotron.
Correct.
That's what you get.
Oh. Mm. It's never happened to me. I just thought they'd maybe throw the guy a ball, give him a hat, like something.
No.
And
what about the Jumbotron games? Like the three hats, three card Monty type deal?
It's a big thing.
See, those are fun.
I like that,
I'm amazing at the magical hats that move around and you don't know where it's at.
But sometimes it's too much. University of Wisconsin, it's at Camp Randall, they do it too much. It's like it's part of the game. It's like in between quarters, they have a race, the whole thing.
Yes.
I think it's a little too
I love the hot dog race.
Yeah, I was going to say, Milwaukee lost last night. We won't see that the rest of the year.
Yeah, I wasn't at the game, but yeah.
Well, no, it's separate points.
If there's a hot dog race, who are you going with? Ketchup, mustard, or onion?
Mustard.
I'm going with the different kinds of
onion.
Sausages.
Onion always wins.
Whoever starts in third place.
Onion.
After the first
it's
two
always
seconds,
onion. It's always the correct answer is onion.
Why would you say ketchup, mustard, and onion? Like, what about
that
relish?
Make any sense.
Well, that's where I grew up. I think everyone grew up where I did. My ballpark. You know, Progressive Field, it's ketchup, mustard, and onion for the hot dog race. And I swear, I used to go to a lot of games. So like I said, dad season tickets, my buddy Johnny's dad season tickets. There's an 80% clip. The Wise and I did this. 80% clip that onion would win when we were there.
So is it like a cylindrical shaped like an onion mascot?
No, it was so ketchup and mustard were boys and the onion was the girl.
What?
Okay, well, what were they wearing?
You could.
How'd you know?
It what was were they
a check
wearing?
Under I mean, the it was carriage.
A, it was a wig.
No, it was a dude. The, it was a costume, guys. They.
That's what C-Cat just costume. Asked.
Yes.
So you hot got to know the lady under it.
Hot dog costumes, and I every time we went, the 15% of games that we went to at Progressive Field, Onion would win 80% of the time.
They get. So we would make people, bets. Though. This is real people, though.
Yeah, real people in okay. hot dog, but obviously it's probably staged beforehand.
Okay, I was
and
thinking
like the Guardians would keep a season ticker of it of how many times onion and ketchup and mustard.
Well,
would
the Braves would have that thing where they have Mr. Freeze or like
yes.
that
beat the freeze.
Beat the freeze.
I love that.
And he would start on the entire outfield, and the person they'd pick some drunk guy out of the stands and have him race starting at halfway. And you know these guys always are either too intoxicated to run properly, or they're just not in good shape. As this guy, and he just blasts past them.
But I don't understand how the freeze gets that job. If he's that fast, shouldn't he like be training for the Olympics or something?
He probably is training.
He's side
just,
gig.
Yeah, it's just a game.
Also, did you guys see the Washington National ones with the presidents? I like that one.
Of course,
yes.
I like that one a lot.
That's a fun one.
I'm still kind of confused. I hate to go back to it. It's ketchup and it's mustard and it's onion.
Right?
Are these hot dogs that have ketchup on them a hot dog that has mustard or what?
It's dude. I think I just got to show you. Like search. You have four monitors in front of you.
We're just confused.
Search Cleveland Guardian hot dog race and you'll see exactly what they look like. Ketchup and mustard are boys and the onion is the girl.
But why is
it? Onion would always win when we were there.
But we're confused on why is it onion? Like, why isn't it relish? Like,
know.
Onion, I feel like, is not a like, it is common on some hot dogs.
I honestly like onion on a hot dog a lot.
Onion's kind of hot.
I think that's unethical.
Right? So now you see
it. Onion's cute.
Yeah, onion's, yeah. She would always win when we were there to the point where my buddy John would start taking bets from people behind him.
I think that's unethical. Onions on a hot dog, it's a little much.
What?
Nasty. Yeah.
A little much.
I'm not a big onion.
You guys
fan.
Don't like Chicago dogs, son.
Yeah.
I'd get no onion.
I don't believe in Chicago dogs.
What do you mean?
They exist.
You also don't believe in coffee.
He doesn't believe in anything.
I don't believe in caffeine. That's not coffee, it's caffeine. But I don't believe in caffeine.
Coffee has caffeine in it.
Well, yeah. But I don't believe in energy drinks.
No, I'm with you there. But black coffee is like one of the best gifts to planet Earth.
Black coffee,
correct.
Rizzo drinks like 4 cups a day.
Thanks, Tina,
you drink,
for
you drink coffee, too.
Thanks,
I drink coffee, yes.
Appreciate
and I drink energy
it.
Drinks.
You're not safe. From that. You drink coffee, C-Cat?
Iced coffee exclusively, yeah.
Oh, yeah, hold on, yeah.
He drinks
yeah,
a candy
about
cane.
He
has a candy cane every time
he came in
he
with an iced coffee thing with a koozie
yes.
on a cup today.
It came in the mail.
It came in the mail?
What came in the mail?
I walked through the rain today. It was very inopportune and very inconvenient to go to my mailbox today, but I got the message from Amazon that it has been delivered.
It's you paid money for that?
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
$17.
A koozie?
A koozie that goes on your
you
iced coffee.
You get a koozie from the closet.
It doesn't fit his coffee cups, Colin.
You are just showing
defense,
your ass right
now,
my friend.
Now, I will say this. I think he lost a bit of his man card there, but in his defense. In his defense. See, Kate, I can't tell you how many times I just see your poor iced coffee
Do you not see the Dunkin' Donuts employees filming a video of the coffees that they make, and they just put like it's sugar.
Yeah, that's why
sugar,
I don't. Yeah, that's
sugar,
why I don't drink it.
Sugar.
Mind
sugar,
your business,
sugar,
Colin.
A syrup.
Oh,
ice
I know.
To fill
Colin,
up the halfway.
That's why I drink black coffee. My brother
Tina gets one of those. What's your coffee order?
Well, right now it's seasonal. I got a pumpkin cold brew.
So this morning. What did you get this morning?
Just medium iced coffee, caramel, extra cream, no sugar.
Ask me.
You got black coffee.
Thank you.
You get coffee even at a coffee shop.
But no, I'll go Americano. Mm. You know what Americano is?
No.
It's just milk and espresso. Okay. I'll put milk into my coffee every now and then.
Espresso can be
espresso.
Served.
Espresso.
Ew. You say X too, Colin?
Espresso.
It's espresso.
Espresso.
Thank you, Rizzo.
Right,
no
problem. Ew was not the right response.
Espresso. So Colin, coffee is like, all right, I'm feeling good. Espresso is like, I know if you're listening on the radio, like you're
well,
wired,
I've had it.
I thought
espresso
wired.
Was in shot like, form.
Wait, like, so C-Cat?
Don't they have espresso?
They have machines. So like,
I've had coffee once, and it was an espresso when I was in Florence, Italy. I made my own.
Espresso is like the next step of caffeine for
coffee. Right, it's a little more concentrated.
Yes, correct. It's more caffeine. And like after dinner, so like if I'm with the family, right, and we got a big night ahead and we go to dinner at
big
like
part
6.
Of, big part of culture is at
yeah,
the end
yeah.
of the night.
Like my Italian family, we grew up drinking espresso after
big
our
Italian
meals.
Thing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a big Italian thing.
We grew up drinking espresso. So like for instance, I got my auntie, my cousins, and my grandmother in town this weekend. We're going to go to an Italian restaurant in town. And tonight, you know, since I know I'm going to be out and about, or rather tomorrow night, tonight I'm done. But tonight, we have, you know, I'll eat my dinner and I'll have some espresso. They'll ask you if you want a double or a single. I'll only do a single.
Is this an every time you go out to an Italian restaurant?
Yeah, if they have it. But, like, I won't drink the espresso if I plan on just going home and going to bed. Like, I'll drink the espresso if we're doing stuff, if we're walking around, if I'm showing them the city, like I will be tomorrow night.
See, I love espresso, but I have it in coffee, but I also love espresso martinis, and then I do it with tequila usually. So.
Now, I will say this. As a bartender, the worst thing to make is an espresso martini. It's not even close.
Well, it's delicious, and I order
plenty. Our biggest fear was, like, dinner rush at, like, 7, 8 o'clock at my restaurant I used to work at / bar. And you're just going through it. You got food ticket orders. You're pouring up drinks, and you're running like a chicken with their head cut off. And then the one girl sitting there, or their four friends, goes, "Can we have four espresso martinis?" Mm. You just want to melt.
I've had a vodka Red Bull. Does that count as energy drinks?
Yes. Red Bull is
counted.
I know, but it's just like it's an alcoholic. But whatever. That's the extent of my.
You believe in that?
You had an RBV, Red Bull vodka.
I don't believe in the price, so I don't have it often.
We'd call those RBVs.
Yeah.
How about Irish trash can? Right, so you take a whole lot of liquor, put it in the cup, and they just take a Red Bull upside down, put it in the cup, and it looks like an Irish trash can because it's like,
Thank you for the update.
I did it. Chris, I mean, 3 years, 3 years probably sober, but Irish car bombs were something too.
Yeah, that's a St. Patty's Day tradition.
It is.
Bombs scare me. I don't, you know, because I don't like beer.
You've
so
spoken like a true gentleman.
You don't like sake bombs?
Bombs scare
anti-bomb.
You
heard it here first.
All right, perfect. Mike Rizzo, Colin Rizzo, we got to get to break. Christian Katt, Tina Costanza joining us. You know, I was thinking about people that are yes men. And you know who always says yes? See, Katt, how about you tell us?
I say yes because I like to stay cool at home. Stay real cool at home. And the only people that can keep you cool, the way they keep you cool, EDS. EDS is yes. Remember that. It's easy. Three words. One acronym. EDSisYes.com. You got to go there because they are your trusted AC experts in Palm Beach County. I always, when I try to make decisions in life, with anything, food, maybe with a night out, I trust the Google ratings because I think if you have 500 people say that this is a good spot to go do business, it's probably a good spot to do business. I mean, look at the Google rating for EDS. 4.8 star Google rating with over 760 reviews. EDSisYes.com. That's EDSisYes.com. They've been keeping this area cool since 2006. 24/7 support. Doesn't matter when. Does not matter when. Could be a Saturday. Could be a Sunday. Could be 3 a.m. Could be 6 a.m. Could be 4 p.m. It does not matter. 24/7 support for my friends at EDSisYes.com. Timely service, even book online for all of your AC and plumbing needs. EDS. EDSisYes.com. They've been keeping this area cool for almost two decades now. Make sure you check them out online. EDSisYes.com.
Is EDS yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Former bartender Mike Rizzo, former camp counselor Christian Katt, current marathon runner Christina Costanza, Colin Russo, of course, ESPN. On 106.3, wow. We mentioned bars. We mentioned going to restaurants. I have no problem going alone. Neither does Mike. Tina has a problem with that. We'll get into that more next. It's Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3. She ain't gonna tie me down. Got you on the road. Got it
on the shirts, all the hats, all the clothes. What you want right now? Motion man Mooney. Robinson in the backfield. The throw from Cousins. It's caught at the 40. Moving upfield. Hodge, he could go. 10-5, touchdown! That is a winner for the Atlanta Falcons! A career night for Cousins and a breakthrough win for Atlanta.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3, a three-hour edition today on a Friday. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Katt and Tina Costanza joining us for the first hour. The first 45 minutes, we'll see how well she feels after this segment.
Well, but she likes my bump back music, so I made the whole
playlist. There's one thing that Mike did right.
Yeah.
And he says espresso, so that's another thing.
Well, Rizzo, and Colin, right. Colin's, right. I think you're Sicilian as well. You got to know that it's espresso.
I don't believe gotta in know. The pronunciation there. I don't say it enough.
You're two paisans, man. I can't have you saying espresso, dude.
Theo also says it that way, and so does Dean Thomas.
Outside,
well, they're allowed to.
Outside,
they probably
of the
don't drink it.
Intricacy. I don't drink.
Dean
either.
Owns a coffee shop.
Nope, never mind then.
Yep.
Modern Rose.
And Theo Dorsey drinks coffee all the time here. So
outside
no
of the intricacies of coffee and the pronunciations attached to it, you mentioned Mike that Mike's got family in town, so there's a good reason to go out to dinner, go enjoy yourself, but. That doesn't necessarily mean that whenever the only time you could go out to dinner and enjoy yourself is with family or with friends or on a special occasion. Mike, especially, I have experience with this as well.
Big time.
We don't have a problem going out and enjoying yourself just one-on-one time alone.
And it started for me my 3 years in Peoria. Like, it was really my first time living on my own, and I didn't know how I would like it. I remember, Colin, when my parents left me in Peoria for the first time, I was scared to live on my own, and then I found out it was the best thing ever, and I won't be living with anyone until they're my significant other. But then that transitioned into, I'm hungry. You know, I'm not trying to sit at the apartment all night. I'm just going to go to my favorite spot and get some there. And then I'd sit at the bar, I'd get dinner, and obviously don't drink or whatever, but would be sparking conversation. Next thing you know, I was meeting people. It was fun. Made some friends. So I'm a big believer in, like, if you're new to a place, like, just go to, like, a poppin' place that's around town or in the neighborhood, pop a squat at the bar, get some food, watch a game, and, you know, people watch until someone sits next to you and starts conversation.
Let me follow that up. So, of course, eating at the bar is a little more inviting for right. one-on-one random conversations.
Right.
Do you ever sit at a table?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I am king of getting the table for one. Yeah, we got, do you have a booth available? I'm booth guy. My grandfather and my brother and cousin, we would always get the booth when we went out to eat. So,
Tina, what's your reaction to this type of philosophy for Mike?
I would never do that.
Booth alone with my AirPods and my phone, amazing.
I just don't understand if I was living on my own, like, why don't you just get takeout and go home and be comfy and watch TV, whatever you want, not have to talk to anyone, just enjoy the food.
You don't have to talk to anybody.
You could talk to your waiter or waitress, and that's it.
But you're just sitting there alone.
So what?
Do you not like the optics of being at a table by yourself?
I think it's because it's a social setting, and I'm by myself, and so I just get uncomfortable. Dude. Because I'm very independent, where, like, I don't like to ask for help. I do things by myself all the time. But when it comes to, like, sitting at a bar and having to eat dinner and have a drink by myself, I would not sign up for that or willingly do that. And I have to, because one of my friends is trying to help me, you know, face my fears. And she said, you have until the end of October to go to a bar and sit by yourself and have dinner and enjoy a drink. And if you don't, you have to buy me dinner.
It's HR Anna. You know, HR Anna told her, you know, like, hey.
Well, no one knows who HR Anna is. Well, so that's what we said, a friend.
She's, of course.
Anna's cool with this.
HR Anna.
Are you going to try this?
I have to, or I have to buy her dinner. And I want to do it. I want to face my fears and do it. I already figured out probably the spot that I will go to. But I kind of tested a little bit while I was waiting for my one friend a few weeks ago. And we were sitting at the bar. And I was like, okay, I'll grab, like, just two chairs at the bar while I wait for you. And I just had to sit there for 15 minutes waiting for her. And I hated it. Hated every second.
What about an airport? That is the most inviting time to eat individually as there can be.
I don't usually, though, like, I haven't been where I have, like, a layover that's long enough to where I have time to, like, sit by myself and eat. I'm usually just, like, grabbing a snack and just
and
going
just
to.
And just topping it out, yeah.
Yeah, and just going, sitting down. Or I'm, like, working. Like, I go every Sunday, basically, to a coffee juice shop and go by myself and go work. Or I do some sort of work.
It's the same
thing.
But
it's not the same thing, because I have something, like, I'm doing something. I'm working. I'm not. And it's like the setting isn't where, like, it's welcoming to, like, go up to someone and talk to them. Like, at a bar or a restaurant, like, sitting there by yourself, you're, like, you're usually going with people there. And that's why, like, do I go on my phone? I don't want to be on my phone the whole time. Do I watch TV? What do I do? And I would just not willingly do this. I would rather get takeout and go home.
Kyle, order up, man. Get your phone. Put your AirPods in. throw on a podcast.
AirPods at a restaurant?
Throw on a TV show, get in your booth.
At a restaurant is a little strange. Maybe a sports bar setting might work.
Start ordering. I mean, you know, you get in your booth, you set your phone up, you watch whatever you're watching, you know, and then you start ordering. Get your appetizers.
I don't know if I agree with the AirPods.
Why would you do that when you could do that at home with no AirPods in and watch whatever you want and be in your pajamas or be in comfy clothes and have to be by yourself and you can enjoy it? Like, why would you bring AirPods?
You get sick of being at home. You want to go out. I don't know. It gets you out of the house.
I love being home. I love being comfy at home and eating. I feel like that's like, but again, like some people, like if you're always at home, like I get that, but like I wouldn't go to a restaurant, put AirPods in and like put up my phone.
What? C-Cat, am I crazy for that?
We can add that to the list. Yeah.
C-Cat, what's your perspective on this?
I used to go to the local Chili's in Oklahoma and watch sports after work. So yeah, I'm kind of down with it. Show up, get some chips and salsa, soft drink, unlimited refills at all these restaurants.
Now,
so I'm in.
Have you... Either Mike, I'm going to assume Tina's a no, or C-Cat, have you guys went to a restaurant where there is no TV, it's not necessarily appropriate to put out your phone, and you got to have a solo meal? Has that been done?
No, I would not enter a place with no TVs. I got to entertain my brain. I'm an iPad killer.
I've
done that a number of times.
Explain not
like it's not like
allowed.
It's not a traditional restaurant where like...
Explain
it's
not allowed.
It's not a traditional restaurant where... There's like TVs and it's like a sports bar.
But explain not allowed to have your phone out.
I mean, it's just like, it's not as courteous. I mean, you could probably have your phone out, but like not as courteous to like set something up and watch a TV show or something like that. You know, are you following? I don't know. Like a
piano bar. Is that what they call it? I don't know, that's
hyper specific.
Like a white table.
That's when you wouldn't have, or like there's like a live band or something like that. Like where.
Well, I wouldn't be there. Can't stand live music.
Well, when I went to Europe, I was watching NFL Red Zone.
My experiences in Europe lend myself to this idea because I.
That's
not traditional there. But like even in the United States, I go to places where, I mean, I don't do this often nowadays, but I did it for 35 days, 2 months ago. I would go, and it's not necessarily the right thing to just be on your phone the whole time. So I just stare.
Think.
People watch.
People watching so fun.
Yeah.
Own thoughts.
And you're just kind of there, and the waitress would always ask, are you expecting anybody else? And I'm like, I don't think so.
Because of you. You play your cards, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Like, what time you get off? No, but ultimately, I don't think... I've had experiences where, like, I could just sit down and have a meal, not necessarily use the phone. And, of course, it is nice when you could sit at a bar and have a phone, strike up a conversation with a stranger. But sometimes I could go through a whole meal, no phone, no communication with, like, it's not, like, the setting to do that. And you just have a meal and move on with your life.
I find that if there's no visual stimulation while I'm eating, I chow down. I eat too quickly, and I get a stomachache. The TV gives me a break.
I'm a fast eater.
I'm the fastest eater, yeah, I think. East of the Mississippi.
I'm okay with that. But I don't know. I think, Tina, I'm excited for you to kind of challenge this because I think once you realize the power of like how comfortable your own silence can be, and especially in a public setting, not this is saying like Tina's silence is a good
thing.
Are you
afraid of people like going like, oh my God, that girl's sitting alone?
I'm sure that's part of it.
Is that part of it?
No, not at all. It's more, again, like I just feel uncomfortable. Like I'm sitting here by myself and I don't want to be on my phone the whole time, but I don't know what to do. And like too, like I had to do it for 15 minutes and I was trying to watch, I was watching college football and I'm like, I don't even know what I'm watching right now or even care about watching this. That's really, and I'm like, I didn't like it.
Would you go to a concert by yourself?
No.
Would you go?
I'm there. No chance.
Well, I like live music, which is another thing that's insane.
I'd be okay. I went to a folk concert by myself. It was after work. The ESPN Madison studios are next to a place called the Sylvie in Madison, and they have a bunch of concerts there. It's not anywhere near my friends. And they had a folk concert on a Thursday night after I got off of work.
Kyle.
And I just... It was like a $5 ticket. I'm like, I got nothing to do.
If I was backpacking Europe by myself like you, I probably would. You know, just
if I
saw something going on.
College.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, you put me in that situation, yeah, I probably would.
Yeah.
But like, buy a ticket, like, by myself here in the States.
Would you go to the movies by yourself?
Oh, yeah. Do it all the time.
I did go to a UFC event by myself, and I was, like, so proud of myself.
Whoa.
You'll go to
UFC
event.
You won't to a Subway by yourself
with those crazy
and get a sandwich
people.
And you go to an MMA event.
You call me crazy. You'll go to a UFC fight with those crazy people.
Well, the crazies are in the ring.
And then,
yes.
I disagree.
No, yeah,
you've been
the
to
band.
A UFC game, or sorry, fight.
Okay.
No, dude, they're everywhere.
It was kind of last minute, though. So it was in New York at Madison Square Garden, and who I was going with actually was a girl from another like radio station, and she bailed on me last minute. And so I had to kind of face my fears and be like, well, I'm going to this fight. It was a massive fight. And I went by myself. I walked there by myself. I enjoyed the whole fight by myself. Huh?
You liked it?
It was great, yeah. But that was like, I like watch. Yeah, it was something to watch and whatnot. Dean Thomas was there and I ended up like meeting up with Dean Thomas.
Well, you didn't go alone then because Dean was there.
Well, because he was working. I sat by myself the whole time.
I didn't know he was working.
See, yeah. Stuff like that, I feel like the point of doing this stuff is to share memories.
I was put in a situation, where I had to be by myself.
If I have a ticket and I could get a ticket and nobody wants to go with me and I want to go, I'm going.
Yeah, like that's too. I'm going. I kind of was like, okay, like I was already going there by myself, but kind of had a friend in New York that I was planning to go with and then she bailed and I'm like, well, I'm going by myself because I want to be there.
I'd go to baseball games by myself.
I've been to a baseball game by myself.
I've too, plenty of times. Football games. I do baseball, football, basketball.
I wouldn't do a football game by myself. I've been to hoops games by myself. A football game is a little too long.
Dude, football games, though, like, wherever you sit, you're making friends, no matter what.
That's true.
Unless you're rooting for the other team the whole time.
I haven't been to that many football games that I've had the opportunity to go alone, so I guess I haven't really, I don't know, explored that. But I think going to the movies by yourself, completely fine. I'd go to the zoo by myself.
That's watch list activity.
What? The zoo?
At what age?
You don't like the zoo. What's wrong
with
the zoo?
You cannot enter a zoo unless that you have another person or a child with you.
I don't know about the watch list thing, but to see Kat's point, guys,
Do you guys not like animals?
I'm 30. I'm going to be turning 30 in October. Yeah, thanks. I don't know. I don't think I've been to the zoo since I was 10 years old. 20 years, I think.
I went to the zoo last month. Who doesn't love the zoo?
I love the zoo.
I think it's been like 20 years since I've been to the zoo.
Got to go with somebody else, though.
You want to know, and Colin, you're going to laugh.
You ever see the orangutans and how perceptive they are? It's incredible.
You're going to laugh. Do you want to know why I don't go to one of the, a fear I had? Dude, they smell so bad.
Oh, yeah.
A zoo smells so bad. I remember just looking at like my dad or my mom, whoever the heck I was with, I was like, it stinks and it smells. Every exhibit we went to, I just complained that it smelled like you know what.
Now, the Madison, Wisconsin Zoo is free. So you could just walk in and go. It's like
on
a
your lunch break.
I don't go on. I went. It was a good time. I don't understand why that is such
a
problem.
I love the zoo in general. The zoo's great, but you got to go with somebody else.
Social event.
It is. Like, it is so, with the person you go with.
Hang out with the animals. What are you doing, the animal? Like, you throw stuff? Like, I don't know. It's great.
Have you ever seen, you guys ever watch Robin Big?
Yeah.
Yes.
R.I.P.
One of my favorite episodes was when they were, like, in the beginning of their episodes, they would, like, have, like, funny clips of, like, them doing something really quick. One of my favorite ones was when, like, Rob was just throwing the melons into this hippopotamus's mouth. He was just smashing it. In one bite.
Who doesn't?
Are you nine?
It's hysterical. Granted, when Robin Big came out, I was like 12, you know? So yeah, I laughed hysterically at it.
Would you go to a comedy show by yourself?
I think I told you guys this. I'm not a stand-up comedy guy.
I would. I think that's awesome.
Well,
you're asking to get targeted.
I just think I'm funnier. I just think I'm funnier than all those guys.
Oh, God.
You are so mistaken.
You're definitely not.
I just think I'm funnier than all those people. When you lose the contest
with Theoretically Speaking, you're going to have to do it.
Who says we're losing?
Yeah.
Well, I'm on Theoretically Speaking's team, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tina's got to say
it. I'm not doing it, but I'm rooting for them.
Are you making picks of them?
No, I'm not. I'm rooting for them, though.
We consult Tina every Thursday.
They ask.
Because we're crazy?
What do you mean? I'm on Theoretically Speaking, so I'm totally on team Theoretically Speaking, but I will not be a part of the stand-up comedy. I'm just rooting for them. And Dean Thomas and I said we're going to throw tomatoes at y'all.
What about the beach by yourself?
Oh, I do that weekly.
Time out.
I go to the beach by myself all the time, but that's different. It's like no one's there.
I have a problem with that.
Why?
With what?
I'm on their show.
She should be, if they lose, she should be on the card.
I'm not doing picks, though, and I haven't been doing picks at all.
That's, yeah.
So, sorry.
She's like, she's rooting for a team.
I'm just rooting for them.
She'll be on the show.
She'll probably be there. I don't know.
Yeah, I will be.
Russo and Rizzo. Wow. Presented by our pals over at the Boca Raton Bowl. The annual Boca Raton ABC Supply Great Chefs Tailgate Showcase presented by the Boca Raton Innovation Campus and CP Group heats up on Tuesday, October 15th. From 6 to 8:30 p.m., join ESPN West Palm's Theo Dorsey at Brick and Boca Raton as dozens of local chefs, breweries, cocktail masters serve their favorite tailgate classics. Tickets are on sale now, includes all food samplings, entertainment, beer, wine, cocktails, and soft drinks. Visit spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events to purchase your tickets today. An actual entertaining Thursday night football game went down yesterday between the Atlanta Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a 36-30 overtime victory. Thank God. Thursday night football finally took a turn. Our NFL offense is back. We get into that more next. And Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Rolling on here, Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Catt, of course, behind the glass. Big thanks to Tina Costanza, who joined us for the first two segments of this very program on a three-hour special of Russo and Rizzo. A lot going on, of course, the MLB side of things, the Mets, the Miracle Mets, a team of destiny. Feels crazy to call the Mets a team of destiny. We went from that game in a dramatic fashion, 4-2 victory for the Mets. They move on to play the Phillies 4-0-5, 4-0-8 first pitch on Saturday. And then you shift to Thursday Night Football, which has generally and usually terrible matchups. Teams are not, one or both teams are not into it. Guys are hurt. And the team, the product usually stinks with the bad broadcast. But yesterday, I think to the surprise of many, and even to the surprise of the guys doing the game, Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit, the Atlanta Falcon Buccaneer game was, it almost reminded me of that, not as good, of course, but that Chief Ram game in 2018 on Monday Night Football, where it was like 51-48, and it was just nonstop offense. That's what this game felt like.
A little stretch there.
I agree. That's one of the better games I've seen in the NFL. But my point is, every time I turned around, a team was in the red zone.
Oh, yeah.
I've never, and I, you know, you're in and out, you're watching both games, so you're not paid attention to every drive, but all of a sudden they score. I 2 minutes, I'm watching the Met game. I turn back, and the other team's in the red zone. I mean, how the hell did I get to the red zone already? A ton of offense, 36-30 final. Kirk Cousins finished with over 500 yards passing.
Five football fields. Darn near almost threw for six.
500 plus yards passing. That's the first time since Joe Burrow did it in 2021 against the Ravens. That is no easy feat. There's been a handful of quarterbacks that have ever accomplished that. And Kirk Cousins did it yesterday, 42 of 58. 58 passes, my God. 509 yards, four touchdowns, and one interception. That one interception came on a 4th and 15 late game, and it wasn't a great play. But I, what are you supposed to do in 4th and 15? You got to throw it anyway. But nonetheless, our offense is back. We talked about this yesterday.
We're back, baby.
Offenses were dead in the water. We asked Mike Tannenbaum about it, and he said the NFL, the first 4 weeks of the preseason, there might be something to that.
Right.
Week five underway, all of a sudden, two offenses that you couldn't stop them.
I think the nuances of what teams like to do are out there as well. The defenses, the tendencies of what defenses are doing, I think are out there too. How's that whole double high safety take by Mel Kiper look now?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, just throw the ball underneath, take your 10 yards and take your first downs. How many Captain Kirk threw for 50 times last night?
Yeah, 60. 58 times.
My God, dude.
That might be a little too much.
10 yards
is too much.
I'm playing fantasy football, and it was nice. I had the kicker for the Bucs, and I had Drake London, who finally had his show-out game.
I feel like fantasy owners have been waiting for that Drake London game for 3 years. He's been in, what, this is year number three for Drake London?
It felt good.
Yes.
Fresh air.
Yes.
What I liked about that game is it was fair. It was close the entire way. One team scored, another team scored. One team got held to a field goal, the other one did. And for that, to me, at the very least, it's entertaining. I'm a little over the defensive battles, the 13-10 final score. I'm happy that we saw some offense yesterday. Hopefully, the rest of the NFL takes a bit of notice, and you can see some actual, I don't know, the beauty of going down the field.
Well, just like how you made the comparison to the Chiefs-Rams game from a while back, I think the reason why you got those vibes were because it was two teams and two franchises and two quarterbacks where you haven't seen that level of success in the past 5 years. Kirk Cousins, fresh face, new place, that offense, finally using all those weapons. I mean, freaking Kyle Pitts actually did something last night, 88 yards, I believe. And Baker Mayfield, fourth stop. It's refreshing to see new faces putting up ridiculous numbers.
Yeah, Mike Evans had a big game. Plus 145, the Mike Evans anytime touchdown last. I remember that was one of the last things I asked both of you about when we did our Hard Rock stuff.
Uh-huh.
Wish I would have taken it. I didn't have enough you-know-what to take it. I wish I would have taken it.
Yeah, and the one thing I'll say is the one thing that sours the end of that game was that missed face mask call they had on Bucky Irving late in the game.
It always goes back to the referee somehow, right?
They're always involved in some capacity, but in a lot of ways, the Falcons missed their field goal. They had that terrible third down drop by Darnell Mooney. He played well. He did. But that face mask was a big missed call. It took him out of field goal range. They would have hit the field goal. Game would have been over.
But that's splitting hairs because he tackled the football in the hand.
Yeah,
and
his
one
head was going down.
Yep.
The thing is, it wasn't turned in another direction.
Yeah.
But when you see it, his head was going with his body. But that's the only gripe I really have. Other than that, has Kirk Cousins, we talked about Mayfield yesterday. Mayfield played really well. But Kirk Cousins, I think, unbelievable. Talk about a guy who is playing himself out of that the primetime dark cloud. Nobody has been plagued by primetime more than Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And
that Monday Night Football against the Eagles where he went right down the field to end the game, and this one. I think that's pretty freaking impressive. And they had that great gutsy last play in the fourth quarter to spike it with a second left.
Oh.
Gutsy play.
The thing I wanted to see from Kirk his entire career, I feel like, kind of the consistency, right? He'll do this. He'll throw for like 5 touchdowns, 500 yards. Obviously, this was the most he's ever thrown, but like he'll throw 303 tutties, and you know the next week he'll throw for a buck 40 and no touchdowns and an interception.
You saw it in Washington too.
You need consistency from Cousins, and obviously the knock on him is the lack of playoff success and rather lack of even being able to get to the playoffs.
He had that one playoff win, but yeah, I understand.
He did, but I like I liked our conversations yesterday of, you know, where do you rank these guys? And we kind of both had Cousins and Mayfield at like the 11-12 range. I don't know, man. Maybe it's time to give those guys a speed boost forward.
One thing I give Cousins credit for is fourth quarter effectiveness. Stafford's great at this as well. Maybe it's the experience talking. Mahomes, of course, is the top of the line in terms of getting down the field late game. Allen's usually pretty good at it. But Stafford and Cousins specifically, guys who have a ton of experience going down the field to either need points, go ahead, drive. Cousins has had like, I think, 3 this year alone. I mean, I know he got the call in the game on Sunday. Who'd they play? Whatever. But the Saints. The Falcons had that call that got them into field goal range, and he didn't really complete a pass on. It was on Paulson at Debo. That was it. But he got the pass interference, he got into field goal range there, won the game on that end. And that, of course, that terrific drive against the Eagles on Monday Night Football, that Kirk Cousins went down the field for that as well. Mm-hmm. He did it again here. Cousins is, when he needs to be, has been reliably clutch.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that's the one. Obviously, there are a number of things you want in a franchise quarterback, but the questions I used to ask myself as a miserable Brown fan was, who's going to lead us to score with 2 minutes left? Who's going to be able to get the 2-minute drill down pat? And Justin Fields, by the way, couldn't do that in Chicago. And that was a huge reason we talked about in Peoria was Fields can't do the 2-minute drill. Fields, and the people would bring up the numbers and his record when losing by 3 or more. Like, I feel like that's the breaking point for people with quarterbacks is you're in these games. It's the NFL. A lot of these games are close. Which quarterback is going to get you over the hurdle and win the game late in the game?
I think that's to that point, there's like a second standard, another attribute that you could bring to, well, you know, a quarterback's good.
Right.
Now it's is he clutch? Does he perform to a higher level in the fourth quarter? Of course, we know Brady is the best of the best at bringing
the team
down.
You wonder who
else
was good? Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
How many times did I see Big Ben do that with the Steelers?
Bringing teams methodically down the field. And when you need it the most, that's the Kirk Cousins has it. I thought Aaron Rodgers has had many moments where he had it. He didn't do it against the Denver Broncos, but that's another story another day. But from what I saw from Cousins on a knee, a leg with the torn Achilles that is probably getting a little better each and every week. The Falcons are trending upward. They've been in every game. He did it against the Chiefs. And if you want to call that pass interference on Pitts, that might have been a different game. This team might be 4-1. But I know that's a what if. But at the end of the day, he put them in a position down the field. Cousins has had a very, very underrated year. And I think yesterday, finally, with the statistics, was a little bit of a showing out party for Kirk Cousins. I give him credit.
The football nerd in me goes back to the play that you mentioned earlier. 12 seconds on the clock. They're not running an offensive play across the middle of the field with Desmond Ridder. They're not doing that with Marcus Mariota. They would probably go back to Matt Ryan is the last quarterback the Falcons had that they would do that play with. It showed so much confidence in your quarterback, and he showed them that they were right.
That's how far back we have to go, by the way, with that team. Matt Ryan. And I could argue Matt Ryan, the final 2-3 years he was in Atlanta, he was glue factory as it was. So maybe this is exactly what Atlanta needs, and maybe they don't look as foolish, I guess is the word I'm looking for. They don't look as foolish for taking a quarterback in the first round and taking Kirk Cousins. Now, I don't think it helps that Penix is already 24. How old is Penix going to be by the time he gets to be the starter? How long is that Kirk contract? 2 years?
Yeah,
3 years?
3-4 years.
2-3 years or whatever? So,
Kirk Cousins with a monumental 509-yard explosion on Thursday Night Football yesterday. Baker Mayfield, of course, played a winning football game. Just things didn't turn out their way. A Bucky Irving fumble did not help them in that regard in the last drive of the game. But it's Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3. We continue the conversation. And the NFL offense is back. 888-760-3776. Our reactions to Thursday Night Football. We continue next. It's Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3.